Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is recorded for us in the prophet Isaiah, the 12th chapter. It's a song of praise. You will say in that day, the day of deliverance, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you are angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among his people, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all of the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is recorded for us in the second letter to the Corinthians, the fifth chapter. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God, making his appeal through us. We implore on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that community, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him? And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Kathy, just so you know, I'm changing the introduction a little. You'll find me again. Reconciled. One word that can really sum up the entire gospel message. Reconciled. We see a very, very clear illustration of what reconciliation and being reconciled is all about in our gospel reading today. We had the young son insulting his father, taking his property before dad was dead, wasting it all, and repenting. And as he returned to the father, he didn't even get his demands out, you know, treat me like one of your servants, before the father already reconciled with that son. One word that sums up the gospel message. It's a clear word from our epistle reading as well. Six times in that short reading from 2 Corinthians 5, the word reconcile and its variations were used. Now, if this is going to be the central word that we're going to focus on today, we've got to make sure what it means. We have one example with the father and son. Another example would be two friends, good friends, who've had a fight or an argument. The relationship they once enjoyed has become strained to the point of breaking. They cease speaking to each other. Communication is deemed too awkward. The friends gradually become strangers, either brooding on their hurts and injuries or just plain old intentionally forgetting each other. That if those two friends were brought together and their differences are worked out, so that their friendship is once again restored, that communication is not only possible, but again enjoyable, then they would be reconciled. On a larger scale, our static shot gives us a good, if imperfect, image of being reconciled. That is a picture of the statue Hands Across the Divide. It's a statue in Derry, Northern Ireland. It was created by Maurice Heron and installed in 1992, 6 years before the Good Friday Peace Accord brought a measure of peace to that community. It was put up to symbolize reconciliation and hope for the future, particularly in that case between Protestant and Catholic communities. This reconciliation is the focus of Paul's words, except it's not just father-son relationship or two friends or even two nations, but Paul is talking about the relationship between God the Creator and His entire creation. This entire section is the most concise, inspiring statement of the ministry of God's people, because these verses clearly explain the gospel message, the message that makes reconciliation possible, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. The title in most of the Bibles in this section of Scripture is the ministry of reconciliation, and that is exactly what's presented in these six verses. The first of our verses reminds us that this ministry begins with a new point of view, and not one from a human perspective, but from a heavenly or divine, godly perspective. From now on, the Holy Spirit causes Paul to write, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold," check it out, "look close, the new has come." What a great perspective. To view fellow Christians not as simply earthly creatures, but as divine creations. To recognize that anyone who believes in Jesus is a new creation of God's. Wow! If we kept that constantly in mind, we might treat each other differently. And not only Christians, but even those who have not heard of Christ or have so far ignored or rejected Christ. This new perspective reminds us that God's deepest desire is that all would be made new. So we regard no one according to the flesh. Those who aren't yet a new creation in Jesus, they are not just flesh waiting for eternal destruction, but they are still ones for whom Christ died, ones whom Christ has reconciled to the fathers, ones who need to hear this good news of reconciliation. But it's not just a change in perception. It's also a work of service, a ministry of reconciliation. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. This is the heart of the Christian message, and it is the lifeblood of the gospel. For our sins, for our trespasses, for every time we stepped over the line of God's will, for our deciding to put distance between God and us, for all of this, and no matter how else you might describe it, in Christ, God was setting aside the differences, setting aside the offenses, setting aside the trespasses. In Christ, He was doing something enormous. For our sake, He made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the extent of the reconciling work that God has done. We draw not only close as friends again, but God actually makes us pure and clean and holy as if there never was sin dividing us. And what's even more amazing, more astonishing, is that he entrusts us with the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God, making his appeal through us. We implore on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, I'm not sure how many of you were looking at your bulletin as I was reading this lesson during the readings, but you may have noticed I dropped the word. The word is added where it probably shouldn't have been added. The ESV reads, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, as if Paul is appealing to the Corinthians. But that's not it. What Paul is expressing is, of course, the Corinthians should be part of this reconciliation, but this is the message. We implore on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's the message. That's where the rubber hits the road for the church. Because it's not just about individuals reconciling. It doesn't just describe a God and me thing that we're good together now, but it actually calls us to action. As Christians, we live as people, first of all, reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ. But then in all the various callings that we have in this life, as parent, as child, as spouse, as employer, as employee, as a leader, as a follower, as a citizen, in all of those locations, we are above all Christians. And as such, God calls us in all of our callings to serve as ambassadors for Christ and for his work of reconciliation. We are entrusted with this message to proclaim this wonderful work to those who need it most. And this is where it can sometimes become very tough. Because a lot of times, those who need this ministry the most, the ones that we run across in our lives that need it the most, are they ones who are in conflicted situations. And doubly tough, they may be in conflict with us. You know, it's hard to be God's ambassador of reconciliation. It's hard for that reconciliation of the world message to ring true when we're not reconciled with one another. So what do? How do we live out God's reconciliation? How do we deal with conflicted situations? Especially personal ones. Over the years, we've talked about Ted Kober and the ministry called Ambassadors of Reconciliation. In fact, we had him here, 15 years ago to do a leadership workshop for us. And now, while we're not going to go through his full training because it's the short course is 3 days, the long course is 2 weeks, Ted Kober does leave a couple of nuggets, things that we might be able to keep in mind in conflicted situations, both ones where we're personally involved and ones where we might be able to help a situation. One of those nuggets is called the 4 G's. The first is glorify God. Every situation that is in conflict, counterintuitively, is an opportunity to glorify God by trusting, by obeying, and by imitating him. Now, while I still don't think that way, even instinctively after all these years, there are two questions that can help us keep God as the focus as we're trying to bring reconciliation. The first question is, how can I please the Lord in this situation? And how can I be a witness to what Christ has done for me? The second one is get the log out. In every situation, both parties have brought trouble to the table. In this G, we are supposed to reflect on how we have made a bad situation worse, or maybe how we might have caused the bad situation in the first place. This G of reconciliation comes from Jesus' warning, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." The third G, obviously, is gossip. Talk about the person, talk about the situation to everyone else but them. Get together your support group. They rally to your cause and go and demolish your opponent. Hopefully you get the sarcasm. Because really, the third one is gently restore. There are many minor offenses that we are simply called to overlook. After all, the guiding principle for us is the advice of St. Peter. Love covers a multitude of sins. But there are times when we do need to talk honestly with someone who has sinned. But we don't go in guns a-blazing, but rather having gotten the log out of our own eyes, recognizing how we may have participated in the situation and made it worse. Wanting to glorify God, we go with humility and with gentleness to talk to the person. Not to destroy them, but to win them. And finally, as far as it is up to us, we should go and be reconciled. You instinctively know this, that reconciliation is different than simply forgiveness. I mean, how would you feel if God said, "Yeah, I forgive you, but I don't want anything to do with you ever again"? But isn't that how we can deal with conflicted situations? Reconciliation is not always easy. And it may take time to heal deep wounds. But reconciliation also takes commitment on our part. First and foremost, it's a commitment to not dwell on the incident or to talk about it once it's been dealt with. The other most important commitment is that conscious decision to not let the event stand in the way of a personal relationship. By the grace of God and by being reconciled to God through Jesus, genuine reconciliation between people is possible, and it is powerful. It is probably the most powerful witness there is to the reconciliation that God has done for the world. Perhaps the idea of suggesting that all of Scripture can be reduced to one word, reconciled, is a bit simplistic. But this word, reconcile, it can definitely guide our way of thinking into the way of peace. Amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who has reconciled you to the Father and enables you to be reconciled to one another. Amen. Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.